not all neighborhoods are the greatest. There's some pretty rough places out there. Could those places with a lot of negative and anxious energy be the source of paranormal activity? We hear a story that could point in that direction on a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. It's an EPP 50.
You won't forget this one.
Sign up to listen to that episode and all of our bonus episodes at realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month. Click Become an EPP and you will keep our show on the air and get access to these exclusive bonus episodes just for you as a thank you for helping to support the show. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com, and thanks.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a game of hide and seek leaves three girls running for home in terror. A shadow person does not seem to enjoy the company of his new tenants. A mother-daughter weekend in Vegas gets weird, even for Vegas. And who is the mysterious person that wanders the underground train stations of London? Spoiler alert, probably not a living person.
Yeah, probably not.
Spoiler alert. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
I know people hate it when I point out, you know, things about stories that you weren't quite expecting. Like, oop. Might be a ghost.
Okay.
Might be a ghost. Because that's something we don't typically have on this show.
No, that's a real curveball there.
It's an odd one. So, interesting stories. I'm excited to hear them. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So, lots of ways to get your real ghost stories to us here at the show. Let's kick it off today with a letter from Megan. And Megan writes in, before I get in my few stories I have to tell, I want to give you a bit of background on my little town that I live in. Back in the Civil War, there was a battle in my town called the Battle of Blountville. I don't know if that has to do with anything with what I've experienced, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did. I was in the fourth grade when my grandmother was diagnosed with cancer. So we had to move closer to my grandmother. I had to switch schools and make new friends. And like most kids, a new house is a little scary. At least to me, that's how it was. I also got a puppy. The summer before fifth grade was when we finally got settled. My dog would look into the rooms and start barking. I never really thought anything about it because she barks at anything. But one day, I was home alone. She was standing at the end of the hallway looking to my room. That is, at the ever end of the hall, and started to back away. Then I heard footsteps, like boots on a hardwood floor. But the thing is, we had carpet. At this point in time, so I grabbed my dog and a Bible, ran to my mother's room, jumped on her bed, and covered my dog with my body, and had hold of the Bible. The footsteps followed me in there, and I felt it stand over top of me and heard it breathing. I started to pray to God that whatever it was would leave me and never come back. I was in middle school, and my friends on my street would play flashlight tag. There were some woods right beside our street, and sometimes we would hide in the woods. When I was with one friend hiding together, we went into the woods. We didn't hide too close together, and then we both heard a girl behind us saying, "Hee, hee, hee, I see you." That wasn't a very good little girl.
No.
Let's try that again.
"Hee, hee, hee, I see you."
Okay, it's not a chipmunk either.
Yeah. I can't do a good little girl voice.
No.
It's probably a good thing, actually, that I don't have that skill. Continuing on, thinking we both heard the other girl that was playing with us, we ran to the base. As we were running, we saw her running down the street right in front of us. So it wasn't her.
Okay, so it wasn't her.
Mm-hmm.
makes you wonder, was there some other kid in the woods spying on them, or was it a ghost?
I don't know. You have to consider the other kid spying.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, I would spy on other, well, animals, really. I'd spy on the cat. There was no kids in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I was relegated to that. I'd spy on my parents a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that could, in fact, actually be a possibility in this specific case. You know, it's hard to know for sure.
Now, the footsteps of somebody walking on hardwood when there's only carpet.
Now that...
that's different.
That's kind of like the other day when we had that story of there was like, they heard that scraping sound of furniture being moved, and yeah. It sounded specifically like furniture being moved across a hardwood floor, mm-hmm. which has a distinct sound as opposed to furniture being moved across carpet.
Yeah.
And you had to wonder, well, was this a residual sound, haunting of some sort, that it was from back in the day when there wasn't carpet there or whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
But that's an interesting thing. It makes you wonder the laws of physics which the ghosts are playing by. Are they playing by what was there in their time? And whatever is there now doesn't really matter. That's why we see them go through walls. That's why some people say they see people like hovering on balconies or floors that are no longer there, that have been removed but were there at one time. You know, when you die, is exactly the world you died in also go along with you?
No.
Then what is it? Why would they... That's the weird thing.
I almost wonder if those aren't more of a glimpse into a different time or dimension.
Okay.
I mean...
So you're saying that might not be a ghost in those cases. It's more so like the... not astral projection, but like the wrinkle in time where you're seeing... almost in the residual world, if you will.
That's what I wonder.
Okay.
I mean, we'll never really know.
Sure.
But that's where my mind goes with it.
That would be more sensible than the ghosts are taking what their time was with them and still playing by those rules. Something interesting to think about. Phone number is 855-853-4802. Ariel writes in, a lot of really weird things have been happening in the past year or so since I moved into the house I currently live in. I'm only going to stick to scarier events for now, though. I'm 25 years old, and a year ago I moved to Palm Coast, Florida. I wanted a fresh start, and this seemed like the place to do it. I moved to a house with my best friend, and for the first 2 months, everything was fine. One morning, when we were getting ready to leave for work, I heard her yell something unintelligible, but knew it was directed at me because my name was about the only thing I could make out. I came running out of my room and asked her what the problem was. And she turned white. She said that she swore I was walking out of the bathroom and was telling me to hurry up. However, she could tell from where my bedroom door is that I hadn't been in the bathroom. We both chalked it up to Monday morning post-dream haze and left without giving it much thought. About a week later, I was walking out of my bedroom and I was startled by what I saw. It was about 6 feet tall, pure black, like someone had painted every feature of themselves a dark black color and put on dark black clothing to match. Couldn't make out any discernible features, even though I was right in front of me, because of how dark it was. Turned towards me for a brief second before walking away at normal speed. I ran after it, but when I turned the corner, it was nowhere to be found. I told my roommate about this, and we kind of shuddered at the thought of a ghost in the house, but hoped it was an isolated event. A month or so went by without incident. We had pretty much forgotten what had transpired previously. It was late and we were watching a movie in my room. I decided to go into the kitchen to get something to drink, and when I looked up after exiting the hallway, I saw it. The same 6-foot figure, except this time it was glaring at me with a crazy, sinister grin. It had hair down to its shoulders. It felt like a male presence, and it just stared. The skin was pale and gray, and its eyes wide and blue. It just stood there, almost menacing as it smiled at me. I ran into my room at full speed and ducked under the covers, as any sane 25-year-old would do after seeing something so scary. My roommate already knew what happened and said, "You saw him, didn't you?" It turns out she saw him earlier that week, but knew how I felt about ghosts and decided not to mention it. From From then on, we've experienced quite a few different things, but we are certain it's the same entity. Lately, he's been throwing his voice to sound like a female and has been calling us out of our rooms almost every other day. We want to move, but honestly, we don't have the money. I've looked into the internet, and the closest thing I have found to describe the entity in our house is a shadow person. I'm not positive if that's what it is, it's just what seems to be the closest to what we've experienced. Right down to the feelings of dread we experience when you see it. Or him. I hope you guys can give us some kind of advice. Until then, I'll remain a loyal listener and hopefully be a future EPP. Thank you for making such an amazing show.
Okay, I think it's a shadow person.
Yeah, I think it describes a shadow person, you know, pretty clearly. That's the form this thing is taking, or this person, or it, or whatever it is taking.
Yes, and as far as advice, because it doesn't sound like moving is an option for them, I would first try and ask it to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work, don't interact with it any further.
Kickstarter.
No, Kickstarter's not going to help get a ghost out.
GoFundMe. No, not to get the ghost out, to get them out. They post their story on Kickstarter or GoFundMe, one of the multiple funding sources online.
Okay.
That people can post their projects and hope other people fund it. They do a little video or whatever and share their story and ask for people to help give them enough funds to get out of the situation. And I don't know, you know, sometimes with those, it's like, and if you give it this level, it's kind of like NPR, you know, where it's like, and if you give it this level, you'll get Yanni's greatest hits. You know, I don't know what exactly they can add to sweeten that deal. Maybe they'll get, I don't know. I don't think Yanni's greatest hits is going to be, all that popular, but something, I don't know. Letter back, a thank you letter and an update on what happened, or you get a piece of the banister from the house and you can have the ghost too. I don't know.
You can just about do a Kickstarter for anything. So
yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody's already tried that.
I could totally see that working.
Okay.
I could, and the only thing is, be very careful of the information you put out there about yourself on that.
Yeah.
I would say that, especially if you are, it's two girls here, correct?
Sounds like it.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, hey, we need help getting out of this house. You don't want any, you know, the creepsterville coming in, you know, of human beings like, oh, I'll help you get out of that house, you know.
Sure.
So be aware that factor is going to be out there, but I could see that working.
Yeah.
I could really see that. I don't know. Yeah, stranger things have been attempted.
And when all else fails, just try asking it to leave.
Yeah, or then asking strangers for money, one of the two. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Mike writes in, the 90s, I rented a home with a roommate. It was a three-bedroom ranch-style home with a full basement. The basement was always creepy. The storage space under the stairs that went down to the basement was always dark, even with the lights off. That storage area was darker than the rest of the basement. When the lights were on, it still seemed darker than it should with the lights on. First couple years I lived there, I ran out of socks. They just disappeared. I went from 20 to 30 pair to about 3 pair in about 2 years. I thought it was weird, but didn't think anything more than that. Doing laundry one day in the basement, I put a load in, went upstairs to watch TV. An hour or so later, I went back down to the washer. The lid was up, which meant the washer didn't run its cycle. Absent-minded, I guess. I put the lid down, went back upstairs, backed in an hour later, put the load into the dryer and another load in the washer, and made sure I put the lid down. Go back upstairs for an hour, go back down, and the lid was up again. One day, my roommate grilled some chicken outside. He put the leftovers in the fridge. The next day, the food was gone, but the plate was still in the fridge empty. He blamed me, but I didn't eat the leftover chicken. A week or so later, I bought an enormous pack of paper towels. I took one roll upstairs, left the other towels downstairs. A few days later, I go downstairs to get more, and all 7 remaining rolls were gone. But the plastic wrap was still there. I didn't give all this too much thought until I got a dog, and he would look at certain rooms where there was nothing there and growl. Sometimes his hair would even stand up. In between his growls, he would many times look at me and whine, and then look back at growl, as if to say, don't you see that? At night, he would sleep at the front door, the foot of my bed. And more than one night, he would wake up and follow something through my bedroom from the door, around the bed, and out the window. One night while I was trying to fall asleep on my stomach, I heard a sigh off to my right. I remember thinking, as long as it doesn't touch me, I'll be okay. Within a couple minutes of that thought, I felt a a literal stroking of my back, the back of my head, three times. I eventually got the nerve to turn over and look. Thankfully, there was nothing there. Over the course of time living there, myself and my roommate would hear people talking. One time, it was so obvious that my roommate actually got out of the shower and grabbed a knife as he thought there was someone in the house while he was there alone. One night, I even saw a set of legs running down the hallway. No feet, no torso, just legs from the waist down to the ankles. Interestingly enough, the area it ran down was the area the dog didn't seem to like. Many other little things happened while I lived there, but nothing negative. Once I moved, the dog calmed down and didn't have too many other issues with seeing things. I researched the house, and the owner purchased the house in the early 1980s for $30,000. I wonder if this cheap price was for a reason.
I would imagine so.
Well, let's talk about real estate prices in the early 80s, though. That was kind of a semi-normal price.
Yes, but we don't have all the facts.
Sure.
The house.
Sure. There were homes at that time that went for that weren't complete shitholes.
Yeah.
If you will.
True.
It was actually a fairly median area, on the lower end of the median, but there.
Yeah.
So I mean, it probably equates to like an $80,000, $90,000 home today.
Sure.
If you're talking price-wise. But the other stuff, at first I was going to say maybe there's a homeless person living in your home that you're unaware of or in your crawl space or something, just with the things that were disappearing.
Yeah.
You know, household goods.
Socks,
clothing, you know, paper towels and things of that nature. That's what that was pointing to. And then they went down the route of, oh, and then we saw the legs.
Yeah.
Going, okay, not so homeless anymore.
But I can't get past, where do they put the stuff when the ghosts take it?
I don't know.
And you don't find it later. Where does seven rolls of paper towel go?
I don't know.
You just
That's where you start looking in odd places, like crawl spaces in between walls. And then you start, well, was it a squirrel? Was it a raccoon? Was it, you know, something like that that did that? But I don't know where things like that would go.
I don't know. Why paper towel? I can see eating the chicken.
Sure.
Because I would do that if I were a ghost.
Who doesn't like some chicken?
I love leftover chicken.
Especially some orange chicken.
No, I love leftover fried chicken.
Orange chicken. Even better.
No, not even better.
No?
No.
You would take the leftover fried chicken over some delicious panda orange chicken?
Yeah.
Really?
I would.
I like the thick high fructose corn syrup orange sauce.
Okay.
That's just delicious. And if I were a ghost, I would be haunting a Panda Express.
Okay.
I would. They would have, like, we're out of orange chicken again. What happened? The ghost took it.
Well, part of me wonders what part of the country this story took place, just because I would imagine that he was aware that real estate prices were lower back in the 80s.
Sure.
But if it was low for even that time,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe it was someplace where real estate was higher.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It is on the lower end of the scale. So, I mean, it could be one of those deals where, yeah, somebody got rid of the place because there was something else going on.
Yeah, I could see that.
The undead and their antics.
Yeah, I bet you there's a lot of rentals like that, just because then you don't have to try and sell it.
What about the, in our city here in Wichita, there are blocks and blocks and blocks. And I know there's a special term for these homes, and you may know it. It's the World War II brick homes.
Yeah.
You know, that were constructed. It almost looks like a base, but it's not. I mean, they were constructed for employees and their families, correct, who are working on the war efforts in the factories and such.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
And now these homes have, and they're not in the greatest part of town anymore. That part of the city has kind of fell into some disrepair. But people still live in them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a lot of, I mean, they're not like abandoned. but they're homes. Do you think that those homes are likely to hold some haunting? Those go for lower prices too.
I would think so.
Just the history and the amount of people that have gone through them, and the, you know, I would just think the emotions, even if like something tragic did not happen to someone who was living in the home at that time of the war, mm-hmm. just the sheer anxiety and emotion that you may have been going through.
Yeah.
That would be permeating those homes.
Well, and a lot of those homes were where, particularly here, and I know this was the case other places too, but, you know, we built a majority of World War II planes here in Wichita, and most of those were built by women mm-hmm. because all the men were pretty much at war.
Sure.
I mean, there were some that were either too old or too young and didn't go, but that's part of what they used those housing developments there for, was housing the women who were alone
sure.
while their significant other was off at war and they were building airplanes. That's why it's pretty close to some of the larger factories.
Sure.
So I can imagine all the, you know, terror that they felt not knowing day to day how sure. their loved one was. And, you know, back then you couldn't just get a phone call
mm-hmm.
or, you know, anything like that. It had to be, they had to be in an area where they could get to a phone line.
Sure.
So I would imagine that holds a lot of energy.
Be interesting having a sensitive walk through the neighborhood and what their reactions would be.
Yeah.
You know, just it'd be very interesting. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Anna writes in, hello again. I wanted to share a story that happened to myself and my daughter during a trip to Las Vegas just a few months ago. Your silly putty ear is over there, by the way.
I just don't want the dog to eat it.
Go ahead and pick it up.
Thank you.
Jenny dropped her silly putty. We've talked about the silly putty before. We just it's our little stress relief play with thing as we do the show. Continuing on, my daughter, to me and myself, my daughter during a trip to Las Vegas a few months ago, we stayed at a hotel formerly known as the Hilton for two nights to attend a concert. This is the first time we experienced strange things happening to us in a hotel room. On that, we had issues with the alarm clock. It would turn on several times by itself. We go inside the room after being out for a while to have the radio on full blast. We got so tired of it that we decided to turn off the alarm with the AM/FM radio on the first night we were there and left it turned off until the end of our stay. The next issue we had was with the two room cards we received to enter our room. One worked and the other did not work, but I told myself it was an error when they issued the cards and just used one card that worked. We returned to the room later that night and I wanted to watch the news, so I used the remote to turn on the TV and left the remote on the bed while I went to take a shower, and when I returned to my bed, I was unable to find a remote. Started to look for the remote to turn off the TV, and while I was looking for it, a message came on the screen saying the TV was going to turn off in 180 seconds. So I asked my daughter to help me look for it. While we were looking at it, I asked myself, why would the TV go on sleep mode? Somebody had to push a button to put it on sleep mode, and the remote was missing. I asked my daughter if she took it as a joke, and she said no. She was too busy with her cell phone and did not even touch it. We looked for the remote for a good 30 minutes and got tired of looking. So I told my daughter it would probably show up on the last day. As I was getting ready to go to bed that night, I put my watch on the dresser next to my bed. When I woke up the next morning, I was unable to find my watch next to the dresser. I thought it fell, but it was not on the floor. Got up, looked for it, and noticed it was on top of the dresser next to the TV. I know I did not put it there, and I know my daughter did not move it because she was still sound asleep when I woke up. On the last day, we decided to look for the TV remote for the last time. The idea of not finding it was bugging me, and we turned the room upside down and never found it. I stayed in several rooms and never have lost a TV remote. The weird thing is, when we were looking for the remote, I found a card that had fallen on the back of the dresser. I took it and thought it was from a previous guest. I had mentioned to my daughter, would it not be funny if this key worked to open the door to our room, and I tried the card, and it worked. I told my daughter, this is very strange. I told her I never removed the two keys from my purse since they issued the cards to us, except for when I used them to put up the doors. And then I would place them in my inside my purse. I did not know how our key ended up behind the dresser. We'll share another story soon with you guys. Keep up the good work.
Okay, there's two things that alarm me. Are they still not changing the keys to the room?
Yeah, that's a little disturbing.
Or something did get a hold of it and put it behind the dresser.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand weird things happening in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds like just a little too much of it to be explained away by having too much fun.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I kind of think there's something going on in that room.
I think there's a lot of hotels in that city that are haunted, mm-hmm. new and old.
Yeah.
I think immediately when you open up a hotel there, I think you probably are going to have a ghost within a couple of months. You know, if not instantly, especially some of the monstrosities where there's usually a fatality or two in the building.
Yeah.
Of the actual structures themselves.
I didn't realize they were that common.
Some of those big ones, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, just construction mishaps and accidents and such. So yeah, it's you know, not probably the Best Western, but you know, like Aria or something huge.
Sure.
And I don't know that for a fact, but statistically, I know that is fairly common when you get to large scale buildings and such.
Yeah.
So what's creepy about Vegas, what I find creepy is some of the abandoned structures that are there that have never been inhabited.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder what's going on in some of those. There's one massive structure that they were building, and then all construction ceased around 2008. So we're coming up, you know, near, you know, 7-8 years on the building just sitting there. And it's a giant skyscraper building. It's off in the distance a little ways. So it's kind of like a spaceship. And I've seen some people have snuck into it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've removed a lot of the furnishings because they were beginning to start to furnish the thing. And then everything stopped and they sold all the furnishings and ripped anything out of it. But never opened, but a giant, giant building just sitting there. And someone, I'm sure, in the comments section will be like, it's this building.
Yeah.
But things like that, where the construction just stopped, is eerie to me. That's like very Walking Dead-ish.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, oh, the world has stopped here.
Yeah, that is what I was thinking.
You know, just creepy, creepy stuff. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Steven writes in, Dear Tony and Jenny, this is Steven. I sent you a story regarding a place I work at that's haunted last October. And for that, I would like to thank you. Not very many people believe me when I tell them that one of the dialysis clinics I work at was haunted. However, I no longer have to work at that particular clinic as much as I used to, so I don't have a new story regarding that particular clinic. The reason I'm emailing you this time is because back in January, I lost my great uncle. My family and I went to the funeral and sat in the church pews. Above the church altar, I saw three extremely blurred areas. I've had problems with my eyes in the past, but even after cleaning my glasses and looking around the church to see if the same areas of my vision were affected, the same areas were still blurred. These three blurred areas remained in the same spots throughout the memorial service and before and after it ended. I was very hesitant to mention any of this to anyone at first, but I overheard my sister talking to my mother and grandmother about her seeing almost something halo-like around the outline of anyone who went up to speak about my great uncle. I then told them about what I saw. The response I got was much unexpected, especially since they know the story I sent you and Jenny. They just gave me a sort of shocking blank stare. But all they said was, oh, okay. And that was about it. I believe that the three blurred spots were my grandfather, great uncle, and great aunt watching over their family at my great uncle's funeral service. The feeling I got was from the blurred spots. It was nothing bad in any way. It was more of a productive, a protective feeling. I'm not entirely sure whether or not anyone else saw what I saw in the church, since I was looking around to see if anyone else was looking up at what I saw. A bit rude, I know, but I needed to try and find out if anyone else was seeing what I saw without making a scene. Thank you for taking the time to read this. At the time I'm sending you this, I'm a bit behind on the episodes due to my work truck no longer having any sort of radio. I'm hoping that will be able to become an EPP soon, since money is tight right now. Thanks again for reading this, Steven.
I'm wondering if maybe Steven was the only one that was supposed to see that. And maybe that's why nobody else saw it.
Meaning that, like, the spirits were intending specifically for mm-hmm. him to see it?
Maybe so. And the reason I wonder is because if they're seeing... If he saw this as people were getting up to speak,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody's looking at who's speaking.
Sure.
But he's the only one that seemed to notice the blurry places. So yeah. It makes you wonder. And you know, maybe it was them. Maybe it was somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But we know he's had encounters with spirits before, so maybe he was the only one that was supposed to see that.
I could see that being the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Thank you, Stephen, for sharing another story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, Spotify. There's an endless supply of places you can download our show at. But that's the thing. Press subscribe on the platform it is you use. That way all the episodes come right to you. You don't have to search for them. It helps us grow in the rankings as well. That way other folks can find the show. We get more stories. And everything is better and more peachy keen.
And swell.
I got nothing. Gnarly?
No. Wrong decade.
Gnarly wouldn't be good. The decade doesn't matter. I'm just thinking of uncommon words for this point in time.
Okay.
I don't know. Linda writes, and hello, I just discovered you guys, and I'm really hooked on the show. My name is Linda. I'm from Los Angeles. The story I'd like to share with you is one my father told me that happened to him when he was 14 years old. My dad is from Mexico, a place called Nuevo León. Mountains there are huge and amazing. The climate is similar to California, except that it gets brutally hot in the summer. Anyway, my dad was 14, and he had a job selling ice cream bars on a stick. I can never say what that word is. I see it all the time at the grocery store. The
Dolce.
No, paletas, P-A-L-E-T-A-S.
Oh, okay.
And I never know exactly how to say it correctly. So ice cream bars on a stick.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to stick with. Usually fruit-based and Mexican bread called pan dulce. I know that one.
Okay.
He worked all day with his little cart on the sidewalk selling as much as he could. He had the money he made inside a bag that he could carry home. At the end of the day, he walked a long way home, but therefore, he walked in the door. He noticed that somehow, he lost his bag of money. He was so upset, but more upset by what his father would do to him if he found out. You see, they were poor. He had 7 brothers and 3 sisters, so every bit of money earned was important. He walked in the door, praying that his father wasn't home yet. He wasn't. When he saw his mom and Aunt Lupe sitting in the kitchen table having coffee, they saw that he was upset, so they asked him what had happened. And reluctantly, he told them. Now, his mom's sister was psychic, so she told my dad that she would help find the money. First, he had to go to the kitchen, get a dish towel, and wet it with water and bring it to her. He didn't seem too sure about it, but he was at his lowest point, so he figured, how could it hurt? He went to the kitchen, got the towel, and rinsed it in the sink, wrang it out, brought it back to his aunt. She then took the towel, put it over her face, covering her face, and then slowly put her hands over her face and went into a trance. After a few moments, she saw where the bag of money was. It was under a tree by a certain street, clock tower on the corner. The money bag was there. If he hurried, he could get it back. And poor dad wasn't so sure he would find it, but at any moment, his father would be home, so he went to where his aunt told him to go. He found the tree, and there lying at the bottom was the bag of money still full. He looked up, saw the clock tower, and when it clanged the hour, he fainted from disbelief. I've often heard that many of the women on my dad's side of the family are psychic. I myself am a little psychic in that I get very sensitive when I go into an older building or if I meet someone for the first time. I get a certain vibe from them. My aunt, by the way, is still alive at 100 years old, and her sister, my grandma, just turned 106. Thanks for your wonderful show. I hope you can use this story. Hugs to you both.
That is a neat story. To be able to pass that down.
I wonder, can you do that, get that ability for money that's not yours? Like, just lost money? Like, just randomly, I'm going to see if anybody out there has lost some money today. And go into the trance and try and find it.
I'm not even going to try and decipher what happened in the trance, because I don't know.
Sure.
But I would be willing to bet that you can't just do that for random money.
It has to be yours. It has to be.
Well, I'm thinking it had more to do with the distress that her nephew was in.
Sure.
And maybe that's part of what she was using to channel that information. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I don't think it has anything to do with, let's turn on my radar and see where I can find money. I don't think it's quite like that.
It's not like find your iPhone?
No,
press the button. Oh, there it is on the GPS.
Right.
It'd be fun if it was, though. Make a lot of money that way.
No, because somebody else would beat you to it.
That's true. Jesse writes in, hello, guys. My name is Jesse. I'm 26 years old. I came across your podcast while bored at work today, and now I can't get enough. I've listened to the most recent episodes, and I'm currently working my way to the bottom of the list. There was an episode in particular that was so bizarre, I never thought I'd hear about this from anyone other than my own experience. After you read the story, every hair on my body stood straight up. I'm referring to the story in the Paranormal Humor episode. There's a story very similar to mine, and I'd like to share it. Growing up, for some reason, it seems like as long as I can remember, every house we moved into was a bit creepy in its own way. When I was between the ages of 9 and 11, I can't remember the exact age, me and my brother were playing video games in our room upstairs of our two-story house. Our parents were at work and we were home alone. We'd always hear footsteps leading up to our room that was on the second floor. As kids, it used to terrify us all the time, but eventually we got used to it and learned to block it out. This day in particular was very gloomy and dark, like it was about a thunderstorm. We had the lights off throughout the house because my dad was one of those people who wanted to save as much money as he could. While playing this video game, our light kept flickering in the room. So we paused the game and just sat there and listened to see if we can hear anything unusual. There was nothing for about 5 minutes. Then all of a sudden, we hear what sounded like dishes falling out of the cabinets in the kitchen, which was directly at the bottom of the stairs from our room. So we grabbed what we could use as a weapon and tried to go to the kitchen to see what it could have been. Just as we were about to get to the bottom of the stairs, we heard one of the characters from the video game we had just been playing. Similar to the story you read from the episode I mentioned above, we heard the voice of what sounded like the character of Scorpion from Mortal Kombat tell us to get over here. Well, he shouts that in the game.
Yeah.
We never did go to the kitchen to figure out what it was, if anything. Instead, we huddled in the corner of our room, terrified until one of our parents came home. I know evil spirits or entities are known to mimic things linked to a victim in order to get the attention of the victim. To this day, I haven't played the video game for fear of the slim chance something like that happening again. Thank you for reading my story. I know it's short, but it just had a crazy similarity to the story you read on the previous episode not too long ago. I'll continue to be a fan and I'll continue to get freaked out. Keep up the good work.
Now, does that just randomly happen during the game?
Well, it's when he throws his spear.
Okay.
He says, get over here! And then it pulls the other character if you get hit by it across the screen.
So something has to happen for that to be said.
Well, if you're playing against the computer could do it at any time if that's
okay.
You're playing that. If you're not in that mode and it's just by itself, you probably wouldn't be going on.
It is kind of funny, though, because I think it was the same game that the other story referenced.
You know, it's a good thing that my mother didn't hear these stories back in 1993 or 94, because this would be used as more evidence as to why she would not allow me to play Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Until eventually I convinced her to let me in, and I started playing it all the time. I remember, I loved that game. It was one of my favorites, like Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much where it stopped. I think they're still coming out with them today.
Yeah.
But I was playing them back then, and it was so shocking because they were so violent, at least at that point in time. Now they'd be looked at as probably fairly tame. But it was one of those where, oh my God, your kid's playing Mortal. I mean, it was like brought up in Senate hearings.
Oh, really?
Of like, this should our children be playing this game? I mean, it pales in comparison to like Grand Theft Auto or something else now. But had my mother known about the paranormal aspect of it at that point in time? No, you can't. It's violent. It could bring demons into our house. That would have been used.
Yeah.
It would have been used. And it probably brought up if she hears this episode. See, I told you. Guaranteed. Christmas conversation.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lee writes in, hi guys, my name's Lee. I'm from a town just outside of London called Dagenham in the UK. I have a couple of stories that I'd like to share with you, but I'll start with this one from a friend. I'll keep it as short and sweet as possible. few weeks back, I was at a birthday party when I bumped into a friend of my father's who I too know very well as a work and worked with him for years back. This guy's a very intelligent, no messing kind of guy, which is important to remember as I tell you this story. I won't give his name, but I'm not sure he would want me to give it out, but I'm sure he would like me to point out his account of what happened out there. He works for the London Underground Tube as a night contractor and carries out general maintenance at all different stations in the city of London. London, I'm sure you're aware, is a very old historical city that is heaped in old stories and holds many dark secrets. So back to the party, and we were just catching up on life and our families. I asked him how he was getting with work. He smiled and said he was doing well, got a promotion, and that things were generally going well, but the one thing he hadn't banked on was the paranormal activity that seemed to go on a regular basis. I, of course, was very intrigued to find out exactly what he meant. He smiled and said, "I've actually seen a real ghost." I myself have had a couple of real strange experiences, so I sort of took what he said in my stride, which surprised him. He then proceeded to tell me the following. He was at the station that he was assigned to that night. The station was closed to the public and the power on, the rails fully switched off. One of the jobs he has to do while he is there is to clean out under the escalators. He was saying that all sorts of shit and muck off people's shoes and boots plus general rubbish find its way through the gaps in the steps of the escalator. So under the escalators are rooms that house traps, like that of a drawer that you pull out of the sliders. He was saying that his first job was to sweep out the trap. While he was doing this, he said he felt strange and cold and that he had a sixth sense feeling that he was being watched. The silence of the whole station meant he was obviously alone, but he didn't like the feeling he was getting. After sweeping all the rubbish out of the trap, he had to vacuum the smaller debris and dust from the trap. The vacuum is located in a cupboard at the end of the room under the escalator. He walked the length of the room, removed the vacuum, and turned to return to where he was. As he turned, he was met with something that he said would remain with him forever. Standing over the trap was a man dressed in Victorian-type clothing. He said the man looked perfectly real until he noticed that the guy seemed to have no feet. He said that his legs seemed to fade out as his legs reached his ankles. He said he stood there almost surveying what was in the trap. My friend said he stood there dumbfounded trying to work out what it was he was looking at. Then he watched this guy simply fade away. He said he stood there asking himself out loud, "What the fuck was that?" over and over. He said that what had happened completely threw him. He left the room without finishing his job, ran up the escalator to the station booking office, put the kettle on, and sat there, still trying to get his head around what had just happened. Finally, one of his colleagues came in and noticed him sitting in a daze. The guy asked my friend if he's okay. He said to him that he was not going to believe what he had just seen, and told him what had just happened. This guy sat down next to him and said, "You know what? I've seen this guy wandering the station too." He then told my friend that he had seen him on the platforms and the security cameras, heard footsteps in parts of the station, when he knew that no one was around, and once chased him across part of the station, thinking that somehow someone had got locked in the station after it had closed, only to find nobody when following what he thought was someone into what was a dead end. He said that he told nobody because he feared being mocked by his colleagues or that people would think he was strange if he reported back to his bosses that he thought he had had an encounter with a ghost. He described what the guy looked like to my friend, that they were then talking about the same person or apparition. My friend says that he hears all sorts of strange things while working, as do a lot of his colleagues. Hearing footsteps, shuffling around, or talking while the stations are closed is common. One guy had to do what is called a track walk between two of these stations, but came sprinting back into the station, claiming that he had heard children laughing and singing in one part of the tunnel. Pretty strange, as this is done between 2 and 5 a.m., wouldn't you say? My friend has told me that if he has any more strange experiences, that he'll get in touch, and I, of course, will forward them to you. Like I said before, this guy is not the sort of guy that would tell lies or make things up. He's very much old school in that respect. If you're interested, there's a documentary on YouTube about the paranormal experiences workers on the underground have had. It's called Haunted Underground, I believe. Thank you if you decide to read out the story. Like I said, I have a few other personal experiences that I'd like to share with you. Keep the show going. I'll definitely become an EPP once I've caught up with the shows. as I'm a fair way behind. Great show, great banter, great hosts. Take care, and all the best from sunny England.
I want to watch that. That sounds like a good documentary.
I bet there's a lot of activity down there.
Oh, yeah, because that's such an old city.
That, I mean, obviously much older than New York, but I bet the New York system also has its fair share of ghosts.
Yeah.
There's something creepy about that. It involves trains, maybe, and that's why I'm more intrigued by that.
I don't know. I thought it was the creepiness of being underground.
That, too.
Yeah.
I think that all adds into it. It's just there's so many factors that play in psychologically, even without a ghost,
mm-hmm.
that can make it a very creepy environment. So thank you for that story. And yes, we would love to hear more. Maya writes in, I should start off by saying I have never had much happen to me myself, but I have an open mind, especially when the stories are told by my grandmother or father. She's very truthful, and she does say he is not scared of anything and does not believe in many spiritual stuff. However, I think telling us stories and rethinking them over, maybe he started to consider that there might be some truth to them. Anyway, today I want to tell you about two stories. First, my grandmother, from a young age, used to see and feel things all the time, which my youngest cousin now does as well. She went to bed one day, and she was very young. She had a dream about her eldest brother, let's call him Michael. Now, Michael had been out the night earlier with friends or working late, so in her dream, she always says she could not make out where she was, just that she was sitting on a huge pile of roses, and she was picking up the roses and writing a name in the air with them. And when she was done, she saw that the roses spelled out the name Michael. Wiping her tears in the dream, she noticed she was crying. What felt like minutes later, she woke up to hear her mother or father crying. It just so happened that her brother Michael had been in an accident and had passed away. We have many people named Michael in our family, as my grand's family is large and they all have one son that name in honor of their eldest brother. One more quick story. Sorry for taking up your time. My father was never scared of anything. And one night in their old house, he and his cousins and brothers and only sister all slept in this lounge with mattresses as teens, as young kids do. My dad, being the eldest, woke up without reason and sat up to face a glassing sliding door that opened into the backyard. The curtain never touched the ground, so the street light shone over the wall and into the yard, so it was bright enough to see things. He noticed a woman walking past the sliding door in a nightgown. Then he noticed she was not walking, more like gliding. He peered down at the bottom of the curtains and saw the lady was floating. He got such a fright, he laid back down, covered his face, and told his gran, and she said she also had seen this lady. Thanks, guys. I have more stories to keep up with the show. It's amazing. Let me know if you'd like to hear more. Being from South Africa and living in Ireland and the UK, I have a million stories that have happened to my family members.
Okay, I think sometimes you just know when bad things have happened and you get those messages in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, maybe sort of paranormal. But seeing the lady outside the glass, that's creepy, and it doesn't make it any better when the grandmother's like, oh, yeah, I see that too.
That's normal. That happens all the time.
That's the last thing you want to hear.
Hey, Chips is on. Let's watch that.
Yeah, that's better.
That's probably how the conversation went. Just nonchalant. Totally normal. Good stories. Thank you for sharing those with us. Phone number here is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can write it on the website as well, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you enjoy the show, if you fancy the show, please consider supporting it, becoming an EPP, extra podcast person. Get access to all of our bonus episodes. You get bonus video content as well, and it's only $5 a month. That $5 helps support the show and keeps it alive. So if you like it, you want it to never end, then sign up, Real Ghost Stories Online, to become an EPP. And thank you in advance. For Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.